days.
What did it mean to be Minister of Education?
Well, as Minister of Education, I was in charge of, actually became Minister of Education and Health at one point, but the titles kept changing. But it was basically to develop the education programs within the organization, the political education classes for the members, as well as community education classes, which we'd have weekly in the various branches of the organization, you know, showing films, anything from the Battle of Algiers to films about the war in Vietnam and about Cuba, and we would actually do those in the streets and for the community as well as for our members.
What caused the Young Lords to dissolve?
So combination, I think Johanna has probably done the most research on, in terms of the COINTELPRO and the development of repression as well as internal divisions.
Well, the decline of the Young Lords, I think, begins with the second church occupation that happens in October 1970. Essentially a combination of government repression at the hands of COINTELPRO, but also a decision on the part of the leadership to move its operations to Puerto Rico, which undermined its connection to the grassroots, and the fact that the mass character of the movements had declined by that time.
Well, I want to thank you, Johanna Fernandez, for joining us, co-curator of Presente, the Young Lords in New York at the Bronx Museum of the Arts and other institutions, professor at Brooke College. Tonight, the event that Juan will be moderating online.
It's already filled up. People can go online to kjcc.org
to
watch it live streamed.
And that does it for the show. And we have this news. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
You're listening to KBOO Portland. Stay tuned. Coming up, it's Wednesday Talk Radio with Paul Roland. The topic is Columbia Gorge residents file a ballot initiative to stop the Nestle bottling plant.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Buffalo Field Campaign 2015 Roadshow, hosted Wednesday, September 23rd at 7 p.m. at Bison Coffee House in Portland. The event will feature stories and songs about the last wild buffalo and information about the ongoing struggle to protect them. That's the Buffalo Field Campaign 2015 Roadshow, Wednesday, September 23rd, 7 p.m. at the Bison Coffee House, 3941 Northeast Cully Boulevard in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Gaining Ground, a feature-length documentary film by Elaine Velasquez and Barbara Bernstein on Wednesday, September 30th, and Thursday, October 1st at Cinema 21 in Portland. Gaining Ground tells the stories of farmers making extraordinary changes in their farming practice so they can feed their local communities sustainably grown produce and grains. The documentary interweaves experiences of urban farmer activists, large farms in transition, and small family farmers. Again, that's Gaining Ground, Wednesday, September 30th, and Thursday, October 1st, at Cinema 21, 616 Northwest 21st Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the inaugural Portland Youth Poet Laureate Project on Monday, September 28th at 7 p.m. 12 of Portland's poetry ambassadors will compete to become the Portland Youth Poet Laureate. The event will take place in the Artist Repertory Theater, 1515 Southwest Morrison in Portland. Again, that's Portland Youth Poet Laureate Project, a program of Spit Right, Monday, September 28th at 7 p.m. at the Artist Repertory Theater, 1515 Southwest Morrison in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Gazelle Natural Fiber Clothing and Full Circle Resale, featuring women's clothing, jewelry, and accessories with a focus on natural fibers since 1984. Gazelle and Full Circle Resale are both located at the corner of Northeast 41st and Fremont and at gazellenaturalfiberclothing.com.
We're dancing on the ruins of multinational corporations, dancing on the ruins of multinational corporations, dancing on the ruins of multinational corporations. Ha, 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 ha. Say goodbye to plastic and goodbye to cars. No more convenience stores. Hello to stars. No more Wall Street and no more Pentagon. Thinking about these things makes me happy.
And good morning. Welcome to KBOO Airwaves, where we play songs like that. We are no friends of multinational corporations here at KBOO. My name is Paul Rowland, and this is Wednesday Talk Radio. And we're talking about one of the most hated corporations in the world. We're talking about Nestle Corporation. And we're talking about local communities and Native American tribes that are taking on Nestle and bringing new energy to a movement to stop the proposed water bottling plant for Cascade Locks here in the precious Columbia River Gorge. And I've got a guest to talk about that. She'll just be in for the first 10, 15, 20 minutes of the show, and then we'll talk about this the rest of the program. Her name is Aurora Del Valle, and she's with the Local Water Alliance, and she is a resident of Cascade Locks. Good morning, Aurora.
Good morning, Paul.
So, lots has happened since we since you were last on these airwaves. Almost kind of unbelievable. Last Wednesday, it was just a week ago, there was a remarkable event in Salem where a whole bunch of people came together for a rally on the steps of the Capitol building in Salem. And then just yesterday, you all announced an initiative to stop the bottling plant, which is what we're going to be talking about today. Yeah. And you were also at the rally on Wednesday.
Right? Yeah, and I was here, I don't know how many weeks ago, debating our city administrator.
Uh-huh.
A lot has happened, and we're really excited about just the movement and bringing together everyone to stop Nestle.
And we will be talking about why Nestle is one of the most hated companies in the world. If you don't already know, that's actually the title of an article, which I'll be reading a little bit from. But talk about this launch. You're going to have an event this evening in Hood River, right?
Yeah. It's really exciting. We're having a campaign launch party tonight. It's in Hood River at the Springhouse Cellars. And it's to let everyone know about the water protection ballot measure that we have launched. So the launch party starts at 6 o'clock tonight. We have great sponsors who have provided pizza, snacks, juice, and we'll have wine there. We'll have a great band, Cedro Willie. I was listening to them last night. They're kind of good rootsy, old-timey folk bluegrass music. So it should be a really good good time. We hope that supporters can come out. And if you can't come out, if you're too far away, please let people know who live locally in the Gorge to come out and spread the word.
And talk about the ballot initiative. What exactly is what's it trying to do?
Yeah, so the ballot initiative is called the Hood River County Water Protection Measure, and it does just that. It protects Hood River County water supply by prohibiting commercial water bottling operations. And what's exciting is that it includes Nestle and any other corporation that wants to bottle our water commercially.
Great. And so that's something that's been in the making for a while. I heard tell of it a few weeks ago. It was kind of hush-hush before it actually got out there. What's the schedule? How many signatures this is just for Hood River County residents?
Yes. So this is Hood River County residents, and we need 664 signatures, which is not much. We can get that pretty quickly, we believe. So we hope to be on the ballot sometime next year. The actual election date is still unclear, so we'll know more.
Oh, so it wouldn't necessarily be like November?
Yeah, we don't know. So, yeah.
So stay tuned for that. And anybody listening who lives out in that area, feel free to give us a call, 503-231-8187. Maybe Rory can stick around for one call or two.
Okay.
But also, we'll be talking about this the entire rest of the show. Aurora's got to take off in not too long here. So you're going to start gathering signatures. So you're looking for people to gather signatures, I take it?
Yeah. So first of all, I wanted to just, with this big launch, we've done a revamp of our website. So it's localwateralliance.org, localwateralliance.org. And with our new site, it really makes it easy for people to donate. We think of this as a David and Goliath campaign. We expect Nestle is going to pour a lot of money into this, so we need as much help as possible. So whether you donate, you can support us through endorsements. And there are ways when you go onto our website, it's pretty easy to volunteer. So yeah, exactly. If you want to have a sign outside in your yard or go door to door, talk to neighbors. This is really a grassroots effort, and we need people's help.
Well, we know about these so-called David and Goliath struggles. Monsanto, the other most hated corporation in the world, was taken on. And boy, they got away by the skin of their teeth on that initiative. I tell you, that was just heartbreaking for all concerned. But this, this is a new struggle. And of course, the struggle against Monsanto continues, and I'm sure there'll be new ballot initiatives. And there's some ballot initiatives that won in Southern Oregon. And, speaking of which, there are some legal challenges now to those ballot initiatives. Have you all thought about the possibility? What is there any way of writing these initiatives in such a way that it possibly forestalls legal challenges in the future, based upon whatever it might be, the state preempting it, that Nestle's saying that y'all have no right to, I don't know, what?
I haven't even heard what Nestle has done so far. I think they're figuring out their strategy right now. But we're getting some help from some really good people, locally, some legal help. And so we're just going to,
take it one step at a time.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Thanks.
No problem. So that's going to be at 6 p.m. there in Hood River. Again, where is that again?
Oh, so it's over at the Springhouse Cellars at 6 o'clock in Hood River.
And where is that located exactly?
I wrote down the address and now I'm not sure where it's at. But if you look, what people can do is we also revamped the Local Water Alliance on Facebook. So if people get on Facebook and look us up, Local Water Alliance, we have on the site information so you can RSVP and get more information about the party and other activities that are going on.
And again, that's tonight at 6 o'clock, the launch party for the ballot initiative against any water any corp company that wants to come in and bottle water from. So, you know, we talked about this a few weeks ago, the whole issue of why it's not a good idea. Probably people are fairly familiar, but I think it'd be good to just give a few reasons. What are some of the reasons you give as part of this campaign?
Well, I mean, I think everyone around, we can just look at all of our local mountains. We don't have the snowpack. We've had just record lows with snowpack. We haven't had the spring rain. I think drought is going to be our new normal. And it just seems incredibly disturbing and irresponsible to have Nestle set up shop in these times, and especially considering that, you know, as even our city administrator said, things are looking up in our local town. So we don't want to set the precedent of allowing our county to be a water exporter.
And, you know, look what happens to those communities all across the United States that are where Nestle has set up operations and other water bottling plants, but they are the number one water bottler in the United States, in North America, and possibly the world. And they, you know, they're pumping water out of Sacramento. They're pumping water out of Eastern California, out of the National Forest area there. I can't remember the name of that area where they are operating on an expired permit. They are pumping
San Bernardino.
San Bernardino. Yeah. San Bernardino. And I should have the actual brands of water that come from those particular areas so people can start getting, you know, making their own consumer choices if you do buy bottled water. I mean, I personally, and I think you all do too, recommend to perhaps not even buy bottled water.
Exactly.
When at all possible, just for so many reasons, the use of plastic. And it's just not necessarily better water. I think there's a lot of evidence to that indicate that there's really no reason to think that any particular brand of bottled water, there might be some that are known to be better. And there are times when, you know, it is absolutely crucial to actually drink bottled water in emergency situations. Else, we're not saying never bottled water, but as part of, you know, daily life, it just seems like it's avoidable.
Yeah, you know, I'm really glad you brought that up, Paul, because we actually do have a provision in the measure that states just that, that in the state of emergency, that of course we would want people to have some water. So that has been considered and covered in there.
Okay. So again, I'm speaking with Aurora Del Valle with the Local Water Alliance, pretty recent group considering
yeah.
how recent, you know, like 6 months or something you've been around?
Yeah, right now, I mean, I didn't even imagine that I would be doing this several months ago, but, you know, I feel really passionate about this. It's so important. I've been so moved by Anna Mae Leonard's Hunger and Water Fast, and I'm just pretty moved by the groundswell support of a lot of people who are coming out. You know, I'm meeting my neighbors, people who live just a couple blocks away from me, and finding out how passionate they are about keeping Nestle out. So it's really exciting.
Well, great. So again, if anybody wants to call in, she's only going to be here another minute or two. Aurora Del Valle, if you want to call in with a comment or question for her, 503-231-8187. But again, I'll be continuing to talk about this for the rest of an hour, and I'll play a little clip from the rally last week, perhaps some more if we have time, and talking more generally about the Nestle Corporation and why this particular battle is looming more and more important. Even I think people around the country and around the world are actually looking at this.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny because, Paul, I, you know, as I said, I live in Cascade Locks, and I was walking my dog with my husband just last night and passed by the Nestle office on our main street in Cascade Locks. And it's funny, there's a slick poster in there that says that Nestle is a steward of the land and water, which is, I think, pretty funny, because really, I think it's the Hood River County residents, it's the tribal people who are the true stewards of the land and water.
Well said. Okay, well, nobody's going to call in for Aurora. We'll take some calls after you leave. So thank you so much, Aurora. We really appreciate your being here. Any last thoughts again?
Well, I just want to just repeat again, just to send traffic over to the Local Water Alliance website. So it's localwateralliance.org. I know that we've had a lot of faithful followers of the No Nestle and Cascade Locks, and that site will continue to be up, and there'll be the same or similar materials on there, on Facebook. But if you can also kind of head our way on the Local Water Alliance Facebook site as well, we would really love it. There's definitely more to come. And again, hope people can make it out to Hood River at Springhouse Cellars and tonight for the big launch party at 6 o'clock.
Okay. It looks like we actually might have a caller. Can you?
Okay, sure.
Can you stick around?
Sure, I can stick around.
She's just about out the door, but so it looks like we have a caller on the line. Olivia, go ahead. You're on the air. Hello.
Hi, Olivia.
Well, am I on the air now?
Yes.
Wonderful. Well, I'm really glad that you guys are talking about this issue, and I think a lot of us are really concerned, especially for all of the ecological reasons, and I'm really glad that you brought up the consumer human environmental health concerns of drinking bottled water. And I just wanted to comment that bottled water is pretty much unregulated in this country, and companies like Nestle are able to completely evade environmental regulations when they pump and bottle at the source. So I just wanted to bring this up for all the listeners out there that bottled water is untested, whereas municipal water supplies can be tested, you know, for a big city sometimes 20 times a day. And because of that PR campaign, that war against tap water, consumers are led to believe that bottled water is healthier, especially for, you know, pregnant women and things like that. So there are a lot of chemicals in bottled water, from the plastics and also just from the water itself. So I wanted to make that comment, and thank you guys.
Well, thank you. That was an excellent piece of information that I didn't have right in front of me. And that's a huge issue. You're just so right about
that.
Yeah.
And, you know, thank you, Olivia, for calling in. I mean, really, it's crazy. Actually, we're going to have a short film at the launch party tonight, and really talking about how the bottled water industry, you know, that this is a manufactured product. I mean, it just drives me nuts that I know that our water is safer when we just get it from the tap.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's actually only one person at the FDA who is there to regulate bottled water, and she actually has another whole job. So we actually have half of a person regulating our entire nation's bottled water industry. So it's just insanity.
Yeah. You know, the other thing, I'm really glad you brought that up, but I also want to bring up the fact that, you know, in Hood River County, that's the land where we have farmers, orchardists. We've got, obviously, our tribal and sport and commercial fishermen. And we really need to just be really smart with our water. We're talking about the future of our water. And
yes,
if we consider what's going on in California and just all around, you know, the country and the world, people are doing what they can to conserve water, and it just doesn't make sense to bottle it up and then sell it back to us for an incredible profit.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Well, I'm totally there with you on that. So thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. And once again, you can leave any time, Aurora. We do have two more callers, so
sure,
I'll leave it up to you. Okay.
Okay.
Let's go to next. Gary, you're on the air.
Oh, yeah. Hey, thank you for taking my call, and thank you for having last week's program, the debate. I think that was very interesting. The question I have for you is the water is actually being piped to the plant, and how long is this pipeline?
For one, this is a water protection measure to just really broaden the prohibition of the water bottling company. So it's actually, it's not just in Cascade Locks, it would be for all of Hood River County. And that's actually a really big concern, and I'm glad that we've broadened the scope of it, because You know, if Nestle sets up shop in Cascade Locks, and by the way, the water that they would be taking would be from pristine spring water from the Oxbow Springs. And
how far away is that?
Far away from?
Hood River, from the bottling plant. So there's going to be a distance, right, between where they pump the water and where the bottling plant actually is, correct?
Well, actually, I don't know if you're familiar with Cascade Locks, but it's like a 20-minute drive away from Hood River. So the proposed Nestle site is in the small town of Cascade Locks, but this measure would protect all of the water, so not only Oxbow Springs, but Hood River water as well. So it's much more comprehensive.
But the proposed plant in particular, I think it's important to understand the distinction she's making, because they're not just going after Nestle Corporation. They are trying to protect the water in Hood River County for all the residents there. And there's many different springs, various water sources. And then, of course, other residents in other counties will be free to do the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. But if Nestle were to set up shop, I just have this image of this big giant straw, and they set up camp there. You know, who's to say if, you know, Coke or Pepsi wants to come out there with their brands, you know, Dasani, and want to extract water from our county, you know, elsewhere.
But I think that to answer his question, though, I think the proposed bottling plant would be fairly near Oxbow Springs, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure exactly the dynamics of, I'm not sure there's any designs, you know, for the plant itself yet. It's all in the, you know, they first have to actually, the state water board first has to approve this water transfer for, you know, trading water from Oxbow Springs. Because they had a hurdle they had to go, because they couldn't actually get, or I'll just explain this since I started.
Sure,
but
sure.
They had a hurdle because they couldn't directly get the water from Oxbow Springs. So they had to do this water transfer through the city of Cascade Locks and the Department of Fish and Wildlife to actually trade the water the water from Oxbow Springs goes into the fish hatchery, which is very important, and which is why the main reason initially why the tribal people, the Warm Springs and others, have gotten involved in this, because it's an important fish hatchery, which is replenishing the salmon runs, which were devastated. Anyway, so that water, they had to provide other water to that hatchery if this deal was, you know, they were going to be able to get access to the water that they wanted, which was from Oxbow Springs. So they proposed this water rights switch transfer for the Oxbow Springs water. And in place, the hatchery would get water from underground water, which is part of the Cascade Locks municipal water, the aquifer underneath there, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's kind of complicated with this whole water switch, and which actually made it, I think, really difficult, because our group and the tribal people have all actually taken it to the state, to the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, to stop this. And unfortunately, you know, we haven't had any substantive response. So it's, you know, the city of Cascade Locks and Nestle are really trying to fast track this. And so that's why it's so important for everyone to kind of leap into action to stop this.
I see. Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, and thank you for your call. Let's go to one more caller. Oh, they dropped off. Okay, sorry about that. Call back if you want. Well, again, once again, thank you, Aurora. Appreciate your being with us.
Okay, thank you, Paul. Bye-bye.
And bye-bye. And that was Aurora Del Val, who's with the Local Water Alliance, and who are sponsoring a ballot initiative to prevent people from bottling water and exporting it out of Hood River County. And they're going to have a launch party tonight. Tell me again the name of the place.
Springhouse Cellars, and you can check it out on Facebook.
Okay, Springhouse Cellars, and that's at 6 p.m. tonight. And so you can check that out. Anybody who's listening to our frequency from Hood River and the Gorge, please call in. We're trying to, you know, increase the participation from our translator stations. and kind of move forward together regionally on issues that concern all of us, but may concern local communities more in particular. So, Barth, go ahead. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming in to your guest. I'm sorry I didn't hear the whole show, but I'm getting the gist of it, and I think this is a really important topic to get more airtime on. I seem to recall that salmonoid fish normally are able to sense the water that they're raised in, and they use that to come back to the streams to spawn. And it would seem to me that if you're substituting a water that they cannot get the sense of or the taste of or however they do it, they won't be able to come back to spawn to the same or to the right place.
Hmm, that's interesting. That's a whole other angle. And now that the Warm Springs tribe has gotten involved in this, and I understand they're possibly going to be sending another letter out to Kate Brown, although perhaps that's something their own business. I shouldn't be jumping the gun on, but I do know that they did send a letter to Kate Brown asking basically to rethink this water transfer and to open it up to public review, which it was sort of exempted from the public review process, public interest review, it's called. And, they're part of, the Columbia River Intertribal Fish Commission, which has played a really fundamental role in bringing back anadromous fish, especially salmon, seagoing fish, to the tributaries of the Columbia River. And they have great technical expertise. So the question you raise is something that perhaps we'll be hearing more of, and that's I'm glad you brought that up.
And I did some general numbers crunching, and this is over 500,000 gallons a day, if I'm not blowing my math here. And so when we have so much less rainfall and snowpack, and we don't know what the future will actually hold, but the current trend is down, and it just seems imprudent in that making the bottles takes three times as much water as the bottles actually contain. This is a lose-lose for most everybody except Nestle.
I certainly agree with you. And thank you for that input. And I just want to start on this. I know we got a caller. If you'll hold on for just a second. You know, Nestle, have a long track record. And I unfortunately didn't. Okay, ZME Science was started by Mihai Andrei. He has a background in geophysics, and he published his first scientific paper when he was still an undergrad. Now his main focus is on how geology and geophysics can be applied to understand and protect the environment. Feeling that there is a gap between scientists and the general audience, he started ZME Science, and the results are what you see today, which is printed from that website. And this is really an interesting article. It came out, I believe, in May, called Why Nestle is One of the Most Hated Companies in the World. Kind of hate to use this phrase, but Google it. I think this is really a worthwhile article. I'll just read the first paragraph, and then we'll go to our next caller, and I'll be able to get some more, and then we'll have a clip again from that rally last Wednesday. Child labor, unethical promotion, manipulating uneducated mothers, pollution, price fixing, and mislabeling. Those are not words you want to see associated with your company. Nestle is the world's largest foodstuff company, and it has a history that would make even hardcore industrialists shiver. Here we're going to look at why Nestle has such a bad reputation and whether or not it deserves it. I'll just continue with the second paragraph, because that really gives you a sense for where they're coming from. People love to hate, and they really love to hate on big companies, as per our theme song this morning, Dancing on the Ruins of Multi-Corporations, by Casey Neal, by the way. I forgot to mention that. Okay, to hate on big companies, whether or not they have a reason to. I really dislike it when the latter happens. Companies, big companies included, are the very backbone of our economy, and they often get a bad rep for little or no reason. This is an article. I may not agree with that, but sometimes there is a reason, or as in this case, there are several solid reasons, as we'll see below. Which brings me to the next point. Why are we writing this article? ZME Science is a science website. crazy, right? And this is not strictly science, at least not in the way our regular articles are. But we also write about environmental issues, especially when they affect many of us, and especially when we can make a difference. Nestle is a Swiss multinational food and beverage company. According to Wikipedia, their products include baby food, bottled water, breakfast cereals, coffee and tea, confectionery, dairy products, ice cream, frozen food, pet foods, and snacks. 29 of their brands have sales over $1 billion a year, and in total they have over 8,000 brands. They have 447 factories, operate in 194 countries, and employ around 333,000 people. They truly are what you would call a giant. They're also considered to be one of the best employers in Europe. They have 6 LEED certifications and sponsor numerous activities and sustainable projects. Looking at only these stats, it would seem that Nestle is one of the good guys. So then why are they so hated? Let's take it step by step. That's the introduction. I encourage you to read it on your own. And it goes through their baby formula and boycott. There was a long, long boycott against Nestle because of questionable, unethical practices involving pushing their baby formula in other countries. Especially countries where the water was not so the water sources were not so great as the ones that people had access to, and they mixed it with that water and people got sick. Then it talks about their water bottling, and it talks about child labor, abuse and trafficking, health threats, pollution, Ethiopian debt, a deal with Mugabe, price fixing, promoting unhealthy food and mislabeling, and just takes it down the line and comes to some very firm conclusions. So I will leave you with that. Let's go to our next caller. Steve, you're on the air.
Hi. I appreciate you talking about the precedent that would be set if Nestle gets access and allows this to happen. I think that's an important part, and I haven't been active in this, but I just want to share a comment from a very conservative business associate. We were talking about the drought in California, Sacramento Valley, and he pointed out to me a National Geographic article that he had read that mentioned that one of the world's largest aquifers was under the Northern Cascades, from Oregon to Washington. And, he talked about the opportunity to create a pipeline to transport water to California to relieve the drought and provide for economic development. Now, he owns property, and his water rights would give him access, to that opportunity. And I didn't really have anything to respond to that. I just sort of rolled my eyes. But now I'm thinking, and again, he's a very, very wealthy business person, and now I think the best response is, so you agree that you believe in wealth redistribution, which is anathema to, conservatives. So I like to position this as, the argument is, if you favor wealth redistribution, then you favor this type of transfer because, it amounts, that's one component of it, and it's an argument that points out the inconsistency of a lot of conservative ideologues.
Well, you bring up a host of issues there. I mean, these things are, we have to look at these things. They're kind of frightening. But, it's not far-fetched that proposals like that will come on the table. If this drought continues, which it seems to be, show every signs of, what are they going to do? Abandon those cities? Make people are just going to keep moving elsewhere. It's a dramatic thing. Are they going to shut down the almond industry? Are they going to shut down the rice industry? These are big questions. Where are they going to get the water? They have water rights precedence. So, and they have political clout. So in the system that operates today, they are able to continue, but it may be that there's not even going to be enough water for that. Who knows?
Well, again, I think the stressing how important the precedent is with Nestle's decision it's going to get more people involved. It's reminded me that I should, take a stronger position on this and engage better. So, okay. Anyway, thank you for bringing this up.
And thank you for that comment. That's a whole other interesting perspective to bring up, especially, you know, when we're, you know, we're also talking about rural areas, which have, I'm not to say Portland is not, it's not a liberal haven, and the rural areas are not conservative, whatever the word is, conclaves. But you know, there's the, we need to find all the allies in this struggle as possible, and we have to break out of the the kind of liberal box that we seem to maybe get in a little bit, perhaps here amongst producers and listeners here at KBOO. I don't know. I don't want to, you know, make assumptions, but you know, the issue, there's a you can, there's a lot of different reasons why this is a bad idea, and I think Steve brings up some interesting reasons. Do we have another caller? John, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi, Paul. Good morning. Thank you for taking on this topic. I'd like to do a little bit of a connect the dots. This is a very important issue, and of course, specifically to our region and to the quality of life in our region and to the sustainability of the quality of life in our region. So I am entirely in support of communities being able to regulate their own natural resource base to protect going forward the quality of life for us and for future generations. I'd like to mention the Trans-Pacific Partnership in this context, which has been fast-track approved but has not been passed yet. Both Wyden and Blumenauer voted for that. Specific to the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the secret agreement, the information was leaked that if a major corporation such as Nestle were to determine that a regulation was put this in air quotation marks, reducing their future expected profits, that they would then have the right to sue under the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So if Hood County were able to go ahead and regulate the usage of its water, if the Trans-Pacific Partnership were passed at that time, Nestle would be able to sue them in order to be able to recoup expected loss of profits. And I just wanted to connect those dots. And
totally. And I hear the secret TPP talks have begun once again in Atlanta, is what I just read.
Absolutely. And it's incredibly disturbing, and this is actually a place where those of us who are on the left, such as I assume you and myself both are, it's a place where we can find common cause with those on the right, because those on the right are frequently concerned with the loss of sovereignty. And this is a direct reduction in state sovereignty, both on the nation state level and then on the local level. The issue that we're talking about right now is basically a local level one, because it's, I believe it's the county that's trying to impose the restrictions. Am I right? That, it would be Hood County.
What restrictions are you talking about?
Isn't that the proposed?
Oh, the initiative. It's a citizen-led initiative, to pass a ballot measure at the county level. Yeah, so it would be a county. It would become county law. Yeah.
Right, and as such, I mean, the reduction of sovereignty is not only the reduction of government sovereignty, but exactly what you're talking about, because it's citizens leading this campaign. It's a reduction of citizen sovereignty, and that's a place where both the left and the right can come together and say, no, this is wrong. And
perhaps give up these ideas of left and right eventually, which I personally am of the opinion that are of dwindling effectiveness and utility, but that's a large subject.
Totally. But I appreciate your taking on the subject of water and Cascade Locks and Nestle's obvious intent to deceive us while simply enriching themselves and their shareholders. And I'll listen to you off the air now. Thank you.
I'd like to ask our engineer Kathleen to play a little clip that I... Okay. Let's. Actually, we have someone who called early. We have someone who called earlier, and is back. So let's take the call from Helen before we go to that clip. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi. Well, a certain amount of us have called and, you know, the city council and tried to do things. But one thing I want to say is I have talked to the guy, the administrator at City Hall, and actually it's too bad he's not on our side because when I would call him, he'd call me back and we'd have a discussion, which I thought was really quite nice, but there was no way I could convince him. But, you know, his idea is, well, it's a way for their area to make money. Never mind that they do not want marijuana. They're against having marijuana over there, and they can't, they don't feel they would make very much money. So that shows you something in their attitude about what they want and what they don't want.
And I take your calling from the Cascade Locks area.
No.
Oh, no, okay.
No, I'm calling from Sheridan. I just try to, you know, keep an eye on things.
Oh, okay. Great.
Yeah, so because over even dealing with the marijuana, you know, it's like, hey, it's legal. And over toward the mountain, I forget what little town, they wanted to go against it having in their town, and one guy was fighting it. And so it's unbelievable how these people who are in these offices think that they can decide one thing is good and one thing is bad, even though one is legal and one hasn't been decided.
Well, that's why, you know, some states like Oregon thankfully have the initiative, ballot initiative,
yeah,
process, so
absolutely.
Citizens can.
Yeah, and everybody needs to, like, you know, call people on it. You know, you'd be surprised what one can accomplish by even though they say, well, no one else has complained about something. And it's like, no, people don't feel they have the time. They don't feel they can do anything, but they can because everybody counts.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Helen, for that call, those comments. And let's go to this clip from, this is going to be first Johnny Jackson, traditional chief of the Klickitat Cascades, and then Carlos Smith, a tribal councilman from Warm Springs. So let's hear that.
Over 200 people came out yesterday in Salem to support Native American treaty rights and in opposition to a proposed Nestle water bottling facility in the Cascade Locks. Organized by members of the Columbia River, or Nichiwana Native Fishing Community, the rally featured Native drummers and speeches by grassroots Indigenous activists, traditional leaders, and two members of the Warm Springs Tribal Council, which has come out strongly in opposition of the Nestle project. Also speaking were activists from the Local Water Alliance in the Gorge, a Cascade Lock City Council member opposed to the project, and environmentalists. The rally was called to bring attention to a proposed water rights transfer that would allow Nestle to gain access to water from the pristine Oxbow Springs, which supplies water to the Oxbow Fish Hatchery. The protesters called on Governor Kate Brown to come out in opposition of the transfer.
Sorry about that. That was actually the news story. That was actually the news story from last Wednesday, and I thought I had gotten a clip from that, and apparently that didn't work out. But I encourage all our listeners to check out the audio, the full audio. There's two things on our archives at kboo.fm/audio. One is the news in depth from last Thursday, which has those two people I just mentioned, Johnny Jackson and Carlos Smith, edited versions of the talks they gave at the Capitol steps last week. And then there's the full audio from the event, which is, I believe, called Nichiwana Fishing People Against Nestle Rally, something like that. But they'll be on the first and second pages. If you go to, just go to our website, kbo.fm, and on the top, you see a menu bar, and you click on archives, and then there's pages and pages and pages of archive material that us producers here at KBOO put up on our website. So I would really encourage you, because there's just a wealth of material there. Johnny Jackson talking about how, both him and Carlos Smith talking about how, you know, there was a village there at Cascade Locks, right there at Oxbow Springs, where people lived and, you know, drank from that water, used that water for since time immemorial until they were removed by the flooding of the Bonneville Dam. They used that as an excuse to evict a lot of villages that weren't actually flooded. Some were flooded, some weren't. So people were removed by and large off the river, but some people like Johnny Jackson, his family stayed, and the So-Happys and others. And it's a very rich history, and it's really good to see that community getting involved in this issue because they have treaty rights that are impinged upon by this proposed project. So we have about 10 minutes left. My name is Paul Rowland. This is Wednesday Talk Radio. I'm talking about taking on a corporate behemoth, Nestle Corporation, and citizens and tribal people from the river community and the Warm Springs taking on this huge corporation and their effort to come in to Cascade Locks and bottle up that water using massive amounts of plastic and taking clean, pristine water from the Oxbow Springs and exporting it. Number is 503-231-8187 if you want to join in this conversation. And of course, Nestle, as I said, have over 8,000 brands, and many of them are well known. Arrowhead Water, Alpo Pet Food, Baby Ruth Bars. These are just some of the ones that I know. I'm sure people know these. Buitoni Pasta, Butterfinger, Coffee Mate. I'm sure a lot of you don't use these products in any case, but Eskimo Pie, Gerber Products, Häagen-Dazs, there you go, Kit Kat, and on and on it goes, and San Pellegrino Perrier, Panna, those are all Poland Spring, those are all water brands, bottled water brands. And you can get a copy of this. I will try to leave some here at the front desk at KBOO. All these products from Nestle are on the backside. And on the front side, it says, stop spending your money on all Nestle products. Water belongs to the people by the Constitution and treaties. This is an excellent thing that was passed around at the demonstration there at Salem. And of course, the demonstration called on Governor Kate Brown to take a stand. State Water Board has not made a decision on this proposed water rights transfer from Oxbow Springs water and allowing it to Nestle to use that water for a bottling plant, and instead sending water of undetermined quality and temperature from the underground aquifer of Cascade Locks that would go to the fish hatchery. So there's all kinds of stuff going on with this. People have gotten really stirred up. As we've talked about on this program in the past, there's communities all over the country, from Maine to Florida to Michigan, Canada. There's communities that have been fighting Nestle, continue to fight Nestle, Sacramento, California, that have been trying to remove the presence of Nestle from their territories. Here we have the opportunity to stop it before it comes in. And we have another caller, D-Lynn, you're on the air.
Hi there. Hello. I'm curious about desalinization factories and why we can't force big companies like that to desalinize some of the seawater, which is increasing as all of the melt increases. Needless to say, they could clean that water, have fertilizer, reuse the cesium, et cetera, but instead they go for all the what's left of the clean water.
Well, my first immediate response is I see two problems with what you said. One is, who are we? And the other is, force the companies? I mean, governments corporations, the power seems to roles seem to be reversed. Corporations seem to have power over governments, and I'm not sure I would we are even identified with the government. So I see several problems. I appreciate the spirit of what you're saying, but
the government and the big business are one and the same now. We, as the people, if we don't rise up together and get it together and realize what's going on and happening to us, where there is no hope. I am a very sick individual. I drink only distilled water, and I have found recently that they are putting fluoride in the plastics and not labeled, instead of putting fluoride in the water, since we all complained, they're putting it in the plastics in a very high degree air percentage. And there's so much going on that people aren't aware of because they don't pay attention. And
but people who listen to KBOO are.
Yes, and I tell people about you guys all the time because
awesome.
The word needs to get out more. And you guys do a wonderful job, and I greatly appreciate that. But I really truly do believe that somewhere, because there are some people with money and hearts, that somebody has to have some coastal property and some kind of ability to skirt the so-called rights that they give you on utilizing seawater. I'm sure that they have it all under control, and you can't just pump it out and use it. We could get it on the ballot to vote and put people to work in a so-called desalinization factory, we could pipe water across the United States and not have a drought issue as far as food is concerned.
Well, I think I just want to, you know, go with the sort of the spirit of what you're saying, which is, you know, I've talked about, you know, corporate rights. I've talked about community rights, and you know the ability for these corporations. These corporations are accumulating vast amounts of money and resources based upon, you know, they are chartered in states. They are basically, you know, they in some sense they are a public entity. In some sense, obviously, this whole thing has become terribly twisted and confused. But originally, they were seen as some sort of public entity. They've basically turned that around and used the power that they accumulated from their charter, because they are chartered in states, and they can do whatever they want. How we can gain back control and use that vast amount of power and resources to really deal with the urgent crises that are confronting us, I think is basically what is sort of the general problem that you're posing. But let's go to one more caller, and I guess D-Lynn is gone. So let's go to one more caller, and then I think we're probably going to have to wrap up. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Yeah, so I agree with you on that last caller. There's no... I mean, who are we to continue extracting resources? I mean, we've already seen that doesn't work on a large scale, at least corporate-wise. We can't just continue. We're just going to extract resources into extinction, essentially. But, I thank you for bringing up this issue. More people need to hear about it. And I guess my whole thing is, it's, you know, I was having a discussion with somebody about, you know, you always hear those All Lives Matter folks. And it's like, you know, you just realize when indigenous people nations have to hold meetings for treaties that already protect their rights in order to protect them from more corporatocracy, it's like, no, all lives do not matter. And it's just frustrating. But I guess that's really what I wanted to vent, is that, you know, all lives in our society really don't matter. It's we as a people have to state that. We can't just assume that. So I just appreciate you bringing up this issue and continue enriching KBOO with your with your stories and your knowledge. I appreciate it.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you, James. So I just wanted to, maybe we can go to our last caller in a second. I just wanted to reiterate that there is this launch party for the ballot initiative, which has been introduced, and they're going to start collecting signatures and get it on the ballot sometime next year prevent any water bottling operations like that one, the one proposed by Nestle in Hood River County. And the launch party is this evening, and I had written that down. It's in Hood River tonight. Go to localwateralliance.org to find out more about that. And yeah, we're not going to have time to take that last caller, unfortunately. And as I said, we'll have some of this information at the front desk about this, facts about the Nestle proposal and the list. And again, why Nestle is one of the most hated companies in the world at this website called ZME Science by Mihai, M-I-H-A-I, Andre, A-N-D-R-E-I. Excellent article. And there's so much more about Nestle, about what they're doing. Again, Keep Nestle Out of the Gorge is a good website. Springhouse Cellars at 6 p.m. tonight in Hood River, localwateralliance.org. That's all you need to know. And hope to see you out there. And stay tuned next week for another program. And stay tuned for Political Perspectives here on KBOO Community Radio. My name is Paul Rowland. This has been Wednesday Talk Radio. Thank you so much for listening.
We're dancing on the ruins of multinational corporations, dancing on the ruins of multinational corporations, dancing on the ruins of multinational corporations. Ha, 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 ha. Say goodbye to plastic and goodbye to cars. No more convenience stores. Hello to stars. No more Wall Street and no more Pentagon. Thinking about these things makes me happy.
Jim Pepper Native Arts Festival, September 26th, 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. at the Park Rose High School West Athletic Field in Portland. The Jim Pepper Native Arts Festival remembers and celebrates the art, music, personality, and legacy of the great Kaw Creek musician Jim Pepper. This year's performers include One Heart, featuring Jan Michael Looking Wolf, the Delbert Anderson Trio, Four Directions Drum, Big B, and many more. Again, that's the third annual Jim Pepper Native Arts Festival, September